Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you ever sit and think about what heaven's going to be like? Maybe it's in a day where you're feeling extra grief, you're feeling extra pain or sorrow and whatever it is that you're dealing with here in this life. But our focus should actually be on the next life. When we focus solely on this life and wishing that God would give us greater rewards in this life, or we wish and we wonder, God, why don't you make my life better now? I'm a Christian. Why does the non-Christian down the street have more things than me? Why do they seem to be happier? Why do they seem to have better health? Why am I, as a Christian, as a devout follower of you, dealing with all of these things? We need to spend more time focusing on the life that is to come. This life, whether it's 10 years, 80 years, 102 years, or however long it might be, is simply a blip in comparison to eternity. And eternity will come for us. It'll come for everyone. Those who deny eternity will also be faced with it. Those of us who confess eternity will get the joys and pleasures therein. You see, our hope is not in this life. Our reward is not in this life. You will have trial. You will have temptations and tribulations. Our hope is in the one that is to come. In our first lesson, God gives a special revelation to Saint John that he might see what is to come, that there is hope in what is to come. The world fears death so much it is fighting tooth and nail to gain an extra second. But not us. No, we will worship freely. We will rejoice in the Lamb, and we will look forward to the fact that no matter what they might do to our bodies, our hope is in the one that is to come. And so God gives St. John this vision. It's often believed that this is during a Sunday divine service, which would make sense because we also have heaven present with us in the divine service. And so God gives him this vision. And he sees an angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God. He sees the angels. He sees the heavens. What is to come? He sees 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel as they are sealed. Now, there have been denominations, there have been cults that have believed that there are only 144,000 people in heaven. Why, they might not take any of the rest of the scriptures literally, they take Revelation literally. And the problem with that, to believe that there are only 144,000 saved, is that we do not continue reading the scriptures. For it says, yes, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I already read all those names. I already read that each of them has 12,000 of each tribe. This isn't a literal 144,000. It is an all-encompassing number of all the people who fell under the old covenant, the covenant that God gave to Abraham, the covenant that he extended to Isaac and Jacob all the way down. The promise that he gave to Adam and Eve after the fall, that the seed would come and that seed would bless the entire world. These are the people of the old covenant who believed that the Messiah was to come. This encompasses all of those Hebrews who believed it, who confessed it, who lived a life of faith. How do I know that there's more than 144,000 people in heaven? The text continues, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. The holy martyrs surround God's throne and rejoice. The brave men and women who were devoured by lions, killed by gladiators, burned, stretched, flayed alive, and all the other things that happened to the holy martyrs are awaiting the day of resurrection. They sing praises to God Most High. This is a number so great that no one can number it save for God. This is an all-encompassing aspect of us. We who were not a part of the old covenant, for us Gentiles, we have hope too. And maybe we have a greater hope, because the Son that the old covenant was waiting for has come. For at God's proper time, he took on flesh. He was born for us. For the Jew first, and then the Gentile, that we might be included in that covenant. Baptism replacing circumcision, that we might be his sons declared righteous by him, not because of what we do, but because of what God has done for us. God would take upon flesh, and he would walk the path to a cross that his hands would be outstretched on, a cross that his feet would also receive nails through. A crown of thorn placed into his skull, and he would be nailed there, dying for the very people who would kill him. For the very reasons that he is there, he covers our sins. Our sins place Jesus, God in the flesh, on the cross. The sins of the old covenant people are placed on that cross. The sins of everyone in the world are placed on that cross, and all who believe receive the benefit therein. Our hope isn't in this life. Because if our hope is only in this life, then we are to be pitied. If there is no resurrection, if there is no heaven, then we are pitied. But there is a heaven. There is a resurrection. There is an eternity. That is our hope. That is our trust. That's what keeps us going in this life, whether we are mocked, whether we are ridiculed, whether they torture us in our bodies, and ultimately even whether they put us to death. Our hope isn't in a cushy life. Our hope is in an eternal one with God. Our hope is in the fact that our robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That in the future, in that eternity, we will stand before the throne of the Lamb and we will cry out the great songs of the church. We will cry out the great songs that are come down from the Scriptures. That we will cry out, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to God forever and ever. That's the church's song. That's our song. That's our reason to rejoice. Blessed are those who believe, even if they are persecuted, even if they are poor, even if they are miserable, even if they are sinners, even if they are meek and lowly, even if the world persecutes and scoffs at you, you are blessed because of God. Because of his gifts, because of his love. On the day of Christ's return, all of us will join those who have gone before us. As John saw a vision of the heavens and the earth, that heaven is with us tonight. All of our loved ones, all of our friends that we've lost, whether it's through this last year, or in the years prior, all the way back to Adam and Eve, are rejoicing this very night. For as we receive the body and blood of Christ, they are part of the whole company of heaven. No more will denominational lines divide who will commune. Rather, in heaven, all will see the truth, and they will rejoice around the throne of the Lamb. Our hope isn't in this life. It's not for health or wealth. Our hope is in Jesus, in the life that is to come. For on the day that God creates the new heavens and the new earth, this is what we find. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be a day when there are no more tears, when there is no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. And on that day, all the tears that have been shed will be wiped away, and we will have eternal communion with the Most High God. I leave you then with these words from Martin Luther for All Saints. It is stated in Luke 2, verse 9, that when the angel came to the shepherds, the brightness of the Lord shone round about them. Such was also Christ's countenance on Mount Tabor. Such will be our countenance when on the last day we are raised for the glory which Christ has gained for us. Our faces will shine like the sun at noon. No longer will there be those familiar wrinkles, the contracted brow, and the watery eyes. But as it is stated in Revelation 21, the Lord will wipe away all tears from our eyes so that no death, no sorrow, no laments, or any hardships remain. Let us hold fast to this hope, and let us live in the fear of God until, set free from this life, fraught with misery, we shall live that eternal life. Amen and amen. The church sings. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong, alleluia, alleluia, the golden evening brightens in the west, soon, soon to faithful warriors cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise the blessed. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.